Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. It is July 8th. It is a Monday in the year of 2019, and I am your host, Gino Camilleri, joining you once again. I know it's been a little bit, guys. I had my only bit of summer vacation as an adult. I took off of work for 4th of July week, which also meant I took off of the podcast for the 4th of July week. Hopefully you checked me out on Patricia Traynor's crossover pod with the Giants. It was a very cool show. We got deep into the roster, going into the who's new, who's out, what's going on with the Giants. It was a really cool show. You should definitely go check it out. But now that we're back, now that we are another Sunday closer to actual NFL football, speaking of which, the Eagles are exactly a month away from their first preseason game. Wow, that is absolutely incredible. It feels like we were just starting the podcast, Lou and I, last summer, getting ready for the season. But here we are, once again, getting ready for the Philadelphia Eagles to go out, defend their chance, to have a chance, rather, as Super Bowl champions. I can't say we are the defending Super Bowl champions because it is not 2018 anymore. It's new life. We're not hanging on our old laurels of celebrating too long after the Super Bowl. We don't have many bruised and battered players waiting to come back from injury, although there are a couple. But the one that's the most important is there, and that's Carson Wentz. And that's what we're going to do on this show today, folks. We are going to get into continuing to talk about the roster. And this one is going to be a little throwback for everybody who grew up in the 90s. We are calling this show Tearing Up Depth Charts Without Lou, and that's a little ode to NSYNC and Tearing Up My Heart. I know that might be a little corny, but hey, I grew up in the 90s. That song was on every radio station. Everybody had the CD. Everybody knows the cover of that album. Everybody knew Tearing Up My Heart, and everybody is going to know Carson Wentz and the rest of this 2019 Philadelphia Eagles team because they're coming out with a vengeance. They have a big chip on their shoulder left after that 2018 season. And people are starting to take notice. If you've been on Twitter, not just Eagles Twitter, not just this very fan-centric, best fan base in the universe Twitter, in Eagles Twitter, but rather NFL Twitter. Those big potents that Lou and I always talk about around the NFL, those talking heads. They started to figure out that the Philadelphia Eagles might actually be a contender, might actually be a team that is here to stay for a few seasons, because the talk about the Carson Wentz MVP hype, the best rosters in the NFL, the Eagles are continually getting mentioned. Carson Wentz has now been talked about as the front runner for MVP by two very notorious names in the NFL, in Lewis Riddick and Daniel Jeremiah. People are taking notice. I forgot, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah, it might not be, but one of the other NFL heads was talking about the best rosters of the 2010 era. And he ranked the 2017 Eagles as on paper and all around potential outcome of the season were the third best, I think third or second, might be off there, but nonetheless, in the last decade, have been one of the top three teams in football. If you go back a couple of weeks, Lou and I had a show where we talked about how this Eagles team, on paper, is better than the 2017 Eagles team. I'm just going to pause for a second and let you continue to soak that in, because this is one of those things that's hard to wrap your head around, because everybody said, oh, we had everything going right for us that year. We took all the bounces, went the right way. Torrey Smith, the bounce off the leg, the Philly special, everything went right. Even with injuries and even with a team that was on their backup quarterback, there were still question marks on that roster. It is so difficult to identify a question mark on this Philadelphia Eagles roster. Lou and I were debating the fourth defensive end a few weeks ago, over a month ago. We're debating third and fourth linebackers. We're debating third safeties. Because this team has everything in place right now to make a run. Coming into this offseason, we had a few areas of concern. We said, where will we have offensive tackle help, after Jason Peters leaves town? Question answered. They go out and draft Andre Dillard. We don't have any good linebackers outside of Nigel Bradham. Question answered. They re-sign Paul Warlow. They go out and get an up-and-coming LJ Fort. They bring in one of the best tackling artists in the NFL in Zach Brown. Oh, man, looking thin at safety past those two top guys. Well, you know what? They go out and get a guy who's played playoff minutes, has big-time, big-play minutes in Andrew Sendejo, another player who has much veteran experience in Trey Elston, and they're going to let it battle out with Trey Sullivan. All of these question marks that we had coming into this offseason, cap space, XYZ, whatever you want to name it, Howie Roseman has answered. He has came in here knowing what the expectations were, knowing that Eagles fans, knowing that teams around the NFL were going to see if, hey, is this Eagles team going to think that, hey, maybe if a couple of those injuries went the right way, that 2018 season, 2018 roster had enough to get it done? Howie Roseman said, no, I don't think so, people. I'm going to keep you guessing. He goes out and acquires a Malik Jackson. Now Tim Jernigan's your third defensive tackle. He goes out and he gets Zach Brown, as aforementioned. He re-ups Ronald Darby. Now he has a young stable of cornerbacks along with two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in Darby and Mills. All of the question marks have been answered, and it's now you have all your pieces. Your battleships are manned. One, can you keep them in play? Can you keep these guys healthy? Because the Eagles have been bitten and battered by injuries the last two seasons. Can they stay healthy? Can you put the chess pieces in the right place? And will the boys come out to play? Because the first few weeks of the season last season, as opposed to that 2017, even the 2016 season with as how hot the Eagles started, they were flat. I mean, they barely scraped out that win against that Falcons team, which was struggling to get it going the first few weeks of the season. They go into Tampa, absolutely get their ASSs handed to them, their asses handed to them by Ryan Fitzpatrick and DeSean Jackson, who luckily is in our favor now. They let these games slip by the wayside that they didn't do in 2017. A lot of talk about they celebrated too much after the Super Bowl. They thought they could just show up almost, and there was a lot of talk about that. As much as they might not have came out and say it, Doug Peterson said it's in the preparation, it's what you do Monday through Saturday. And I think, and I rather much know now that everything is in place and what the moves that Howie Roseman did, this team fully expects to make a run at the Super Bowl. Like 100% without a doubt, they expect to be playing games into January and hopefully in the first week of February, because that is how this roster is set up now. And as every good roster has, there's going to be a few couple surprises. There's going to be some guys that we absolutely knew were going to be on the roster. There's going to be some camp guys that we fall in love with. Shout out Paul Turner. Shout out some of the guys throughout the years, because there's going to be another one that comes through these doors in Philadelphia. It always happens. But that's exactly what I'm going to get into today. I have gone out, downloaded, taking the depth chart from Our Lads, the greatest place for depth charts in the NFL. Dan Shonka runs a great program over there, so shout out to them. I took it and I broke this down in terms of how injuries are laid out in the NFL. So Sunday comes around, the roster has to be ready. You got 46 guys you got to play. So I broke it down. You have your surefire guys, your 100% guys that are going to be on the roster. You have probable. Very, very good chance they're on the roster, about 75%. You have questionable, bit of a coin flip, maybe yes, maybe no. Doubtful, probably won't be, but there is a chance. And then there's the game time decisions, which, yeah, you're not expecting much. If they turn into being good, so be it. If not, they're camp bodies for a reason. And it's unfortunate, but it's part of the business. We had one of my friends on, Bruce Johnson, a few months back, and he discussed that these guys are important. They breed competition, these practice squad players, these guys that aren't going to make the 90-man. They have to be there for a reason, and there's a reason that they continue to stay on the rosters almost up until the season starts, because they do serve a purpose. And we're going to break it down right after we come back on the next segment of this fine Monday, tearing up the charts without Lou edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. So join me right after this. Welcome on back, everybody, to segment two of Tearing Up Depth Charts Without Lou segment of this Monday, July 8th. Cannot believe it is already past halfway point of the year, but we're way past halfway point to this next NFL season, and it is coming up soon. So as we get into this, I'm going to start it out. I'm going to start with the guys who I absolutely know are surefire locks to make this roster. We'll move into the game times, and then we'll move into the questionnaires, because I think that's where a lot of these things start to turn into coin flips. It's pick-your-poison type players. They have a lot of guys that have very 2 to 3 individualized skill sets that are going to make a difference on this roster, but hey, does the downfield ability of Mac Hollins outweigh the ability of Shelton Gibson in the return game? And we're going to get into some of that stuff, and that's exactly what I want to touch on, so I won't spend much time on these positions where guys I think are either going to be 100% or about less than 10% on the roster. So the surefire guys, we'll just go down the list. Ginger Christ himself, Carson Wentz, of course, is going to be on this team. And Nate Sudfeld, 99% sure he's going to be there. Behind them in the backfield, Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, Corey Clement, your Thunder, your Lightning, and your changeup pitch. They're going to be there. Tight ends, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, surefire lock of the decade. If they had odds on that, it'd probably be -999,999 that both of those guys are on the roster, because they're going to be the best tight end duo in football. Mark my words. Moving to the outside, Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Agholor, DeSean Jackson, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Get used to all those names. All of those guys have potential to be well over 600 yards this year, and they're all going to be key contributors in the passing game. Along the offensive line, you probably can assume where I'm going here, that all those guys on the starting five are safe. Jason Peters, Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, Jason Kelsey, Isaac Seumalo. They're all going to be there. And the one other, actually two other offensive linemen I tossed into this category are Andre Dillard, of course, first-round draft pick, and Jordan Mailata. And you might say, hey, whoa, Jordan Mailata, he was a seventh-round pick last year, didn't get much playing time. Why is he a surefire lock to make this roster? In the world of finance and the world of business, you always think of ROI, your return on investment. You always want the biggest bang for your buck, as we'll say. So I give you Jordan Mailata, who cost you a single penny. I gave you Big V, who cost you a dollar. Big V is going to maintain that value of a dollar, even decrease as a dollar. He is now maybe down to 75 to 25 cents. Jordan Mailata was a penny last year. He's now up to 50 to 75 cents, and his stock is taking off. The amount of time that Stoutland and Co. has put into this player is remarkable. The amount of teaching that the guys like Lane Johnson and Jason Peters do on the sidelines with him is amazing. These guys love him. He's a high character guy. They're talking about moving him to guard to see if he has the flexibility, the athletic ability to play there. They liked him at tackle. Many people thought he could be the next left tackle. Brian Baldinger spoke very highly of him at left tackle. So without a doubt, they're going to continue to keep this player, because the ROI, his stock price, is only going to continue to rise as he goes on throughout his career. So that finishes up offense, surefires. We're going to move to the defensive side of the ball here. Derek Barnett, Brandon Graham, Sharif Miller, I think, are your three surefire defensive ends. And toss Josh Sweat in there too, because I think you invested highly in both of them. Those fourth round picks, they covet very much. Howie Roseman loves his picks, so I think those guys are definitely going to be there. Malik Jackson and Fletcher Cox, of course. Camus, Zach Brown, Nigel Bradham. I think that's basically a lock there. We all understand that those guys are going to be there. Rodney Malcolm, self-explanatory. Cornerbacks, I think your stable of six is pretty much set in stone. Ronald Darby, Sidney Jones, Cravon LeBlanc, Avante Maddox, and Rasul Douglas. I think defense, it's much more straightforward than the offense up front, but on the depth portion, I think things get interesting. Special teams, those are our last three 100% guys: Cam Johnson, Jake Elliott, Rick Lovato. Unless Jake Elliott gets the yips in the preseason, I don't think he's going anywhere. Cam Johnston put a hell of a boot on the ball last season, and Rick Lovato, for as fast as that man ran down after Jake Elliott kicked that 61-yard field goal, I don't think you can get a better a holder and a more athletic holder than Rick Lovato. So he is surefire on this team. Moving to the other side of the ball, the guys that, hey, you might not have heard these names and you probably won't hear them for too long. At wide receiver position, Carlton Agadosi, Devin Ross. See you guys. They're going to be camp bodies. You might hear about them in week two, week four of the preseason, but you're not going to hear much of them outside of that. Offensive line, you have Casey Tucker, Iosa Opeta, Keegan Render, Nate Herbig, Tyreek Barwell. all those guys are going to be gone. Simply camp bodies, undrafted free agents. You won't see them around too much more. Tight end, Will Tye. I can't believe he actually had practice squad eligibility last year. It's simply beyond me. I feel like this guy's been in the league forever, but he's nothing more than a camp body. I think the other options you have at tight end present more value than what he does there. Moving to the defensive side of the football, Anthony Rush, Kevin Wilkins, TJ Edward, Jeremiah McKinnon, Jay Liggins, Godwin Owabuike. See you guys later. Thank you for showing up. They're going to be camp bodies, guys. Don't get too attached to them. But now things start to get interesting. Now we are in the toss-up category. And we're going to come back for this one because my voice needs a little bit of a break. Because there's going to be some heated discussions with myself arguing back and forth with who I think should actually be on this roster and who deserves a chance. So come on back for segment and the final segment of this Lockdown Eagles podcast on this fine Monday evening. Welcome on back to segment 3 and a majority of the show on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Here we get into the middle of the roster. This is where teams make their money. This is where late November, December, these guys are making a difference on your roster. And this is the difference between winning a Super Bowl and losing a Super Bowl. If the Eagles don't have Big V, I don't think they win that Super Bowl that year. If they don't have a lot of the defensive depth they had, they don't win that Super Bowl this year. If they don't have Nick Foles, they don't win that Super Bowl this year. So depth is the most important position in football, in my position, outside of quarterback. If you don't have the depth, there's only so much that those stars can play. And you see it in the great sports. You see it in soccer. You see it in basketball. Those teams that win, they win in those late minutes. It's because they have the depth. They have the ability to wear you down. And they have the ability to stay strong without weakening too many of their supports with the depth that they have. So we're going to start. Let's start in the middle. Let's start at toss-up territory and questionable. Actually, no. We'll go 75% probable and work our way back. I apologize, folks. On offense, I think the two probable guys here are Stefan Wisniewski, Matt Pryor. Matt Collins, he was so back and forth for me to put him in this category, but I think I settled on putting him in probable because I think he's that number five guy. I like him a lot more, and I think the team likes him a lot more than Shelton Gibson. How many times do you see a team stick around a fourth-round wide receiver a year after he came off a year that they expected big things, and he was injured the entire year? You don't see that much. Sometimes those guys hit the road. They toss him on the practice squad. He was healthy the whole year. He had signs that maybe he might come back. I absolutely think he does, and I absolutely think he brings an element to this offense that can put them over the top. His downfield ability, coupled with guys like DeSean Jackson and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, you mix all three of them on the field, man, Carson Wentz, he's going to be able to show off this bit, hit that big arm this year, and he's going to love his downfield targets. Stefan Wisniewski and Matt Pryor, the two I mentioned prior, no pun intended, those guys are going to be your swing guys. Though Matt Pryor, this organization loves. Stefan Wisniewski, Super Bowl champion, has played guard, he's played center for you. With Brandon Brooks up in the air, one of those two guys is going to take significant snaps there for a few weeks. So who do you think it's going to be? I think it's going to be one of those two guys, and I'm very confident in one of those two guys. Shifting to probable on the defensive side of the football, I go Vinny Curry, Tim Jernigan, Blake Countless, and Trayvon Hester. Just four there. I think on defensive line, there's so much up in the air there. Because Vinny Curry, man, if he has a bad camp, who knows? Let's just say out of left field, he has a bad camp, and Josh Sweat and Sharif Miller puts on 15 pounds and just comes out and takes that spot. He might be gone, but for rotational depth right now, he's exactly what you want. He's your defensive end three. I think there's a very outside shot he gets cut. I think it's more than 85% he's on the roster. Same with Tim Jernigan. I think the back, if that doesn't hold up, maybe he's gone. But I think he's exactly what you want for depth. You limit his playing time as opposed to him being a starter. Exactly where you want Tim Jernigan at this point in his career with this injury. Let Malik Jackson get the majority of the snaps while he still has those good feet. He still has that great upfield ability. And let Tim Jernigan be that off-speed pitch and come in and take defensive tackle three reps for you guys. Quick mention there, too, about Hassan Ridgeway. I had to mention this quick. I think he's surefire on the team because they gave up an asset for him. They liked him in the draft prior when he was selected, and this is a guy they wanted to get their hands on and finally have got their hands on. So I think he's going to be stored away, be a nice rotational defensive tackle piece. much like Trayvon Hester, who graded out very, very well for this team according to PFF last year. I think he's a diamond in the rough guy. I think he's going to continue to get better as the season goes along. I think he's a guy, if one of those big guys go down, can come in there and play bigger minutes. He's going to give you more than a Haloti Ngata gave you in terms of the pass rush game, and that's why I want him on this team. I think he could get upfield. He has the ability. He did it last year. PFF saw it. Many NFL guys on Eagles Twitter that I follow, shout out Michael Kiss, were very high on Trayvon Hester. He's a guy that's going to be on this team and very much has a good reason to be. Blake Countess, the fourth one I had there, his return ability says it all. He's going to be there just for that. There's a reason they brought him in. There's a reason they restructured his deal. He can play safety minutes if needs be, but he's going to give you what you want in the return game, and I absolutely think that's where he ends up on this team. So, moving to doubtful, and then I'll go to toss-up category, because those guys are literally a coin flip in my eyes. There's many question marks why I have them there. But doubtful, it's got to take one of their skill positions, or one of their skill sets to get them onto this roster. We'll flip it up. We'll start with defense this time. Josh Hawkins, DeAndre Hall, Trey Elston in the defensive backfield. DeAndre Hall, what are you going to give us, man? We gave up an asset for you. Howie gave up an asset for you, but are you going to play football? It'd be nice to see him out on the field. I know Ben Solek over at the Draft Network has spoken highly of him. He likes his skill set. I need to see it. I haven't seen enough out of DeAndre Hall. I know they like him there. They brought him in for a reason. Howie doesn't give up assets on players, even if they're 6th or 7th round picks, for no reason. So he absolutely thinks that he can contribute. I want to see how he does in the preseason. It's just going to be a very, very difficult position to make with what they brought in ahead of him. Mostly because I really like Trey Elston. Even though I put him as doubtful, I think he has an ability to make this roster. He's a veteran guy. If Sendejo has a bad camp, if Trey Sullivan has a bad camp, I think he can step in there and be your safety three because he's a vet. He's played big minutes. He's very good at what he does, and I absolutely would like to see him in there, whether it be him, Sullivan, Sendejo. I think all those guys give you good safety 3 minutes, not as much as I would like to have seen one of the rookies come in there, but hey, you got to play the cards that you're dealt. That's what they have currently, and I think that's how it works out. Josh Hawkins, we saw all we needed to see out of him in the playoff game last year. He'll compete in camp, but ultimately I think they like what they have in the stable of six ahead of him. Moving to the linebacking core, Alex Singleton and Joey Alfieri. I think camp guys both have a chance to be on the practice squad. It would take, outside of a miracle, for Joey Alfieri and Singleton to make this team. Moving the defensive line, Joe Osman, Deshaun Hall. It's crazy that we're getting into these guys that played minutes for this Eagles team down the stretch last year that are going to be doubtful to make this team. And I don't think it's anything against Deshaun Hall's skill set or Joe Osman because I liked watching those guys last year. I look at that one play that Deshaun Hall made. He was lined up at left defensive end. He tracks all the way down the line of scrimmage, shuffles through all sorts of traffic to stop the runner, which would have been a big run. I can't remember exactly what game it was, but I remember this play as clear as day, and it was the best play I've seen out of the guy. And I said, man, that's a hell of a pickup for Howie very late in the season. And though he might not make the roster this go around, he has a skill set to contribute in the NFL. And I very much think so of Joe Osman as well, because he played all right when he was in there. And those guys, it stinks that they're at that position, but it's the luxury that the Eagles have that they can now let a full-on competition happen at these depth positions where these guys can go out and make a contribution. Moving to offense, Anthony Fabiano, Ryan Bates on the offensive line. I think much like the other guys, much like other positions, they're very unfortunate to be at deep positions. I think Bates is, out of the two, the better chance to make the roster. They invested a lot of money in him in the UDFA pool. He's a guy that, out of all the offensive linemen that were undrafted, he was one of the higher offensive linemen that was not drafted. So he's a priority guy for this team if in regards to free agents. I think he ends up on the practice squad when all said and done. Fabiano, if they didn't have Wiz, if they didn't have Pryor, I think would be have a way better chance. But those guys present you more. Your ROI on those guys is going to be much more than Anthony Fabiano. Moving to the backfield. Man. Actually, let's finish with the backfield. I think that's going to be very much a question of controversy in that one. So we'll move to wide receiver. Mark and Michelle, Charles Johnson, DeAndre Tompkins. They talked about being potentially in the return game. Countess being there, DeSean Jackson being there, Boston Scott potentially being there doesn't suit well for Tompkins and his straight line speed. But he's a guy that if he gets the ball in his hands, straight line is going to take it to the house a majority of the time. Just go back and watch the guy's Penn State film. He's unbelievable. Mark and Michelle, he's had a good camp. He had good OTAs, man. People were talking him up. He's that guy that people might fall in love with, much like Charles Johnson. Both of these guys have been lighting it up, and it's another position that depth is just so evident there. And these guys that I'm talking about now are going to get chances on other NFL rosters, because what better place to poach players from than a team that Tim Jernigan is your third defensive tackle? Any other day of the week, guys like Joe Osman, guys like Trayvon Hester, guys like Bruce Heck, those guys in their second and third year are going to get minutes on teams that don't have as full of rosters. Just go around the NFL and look at some of the defensive lines. The Buffalo Bills, for example, last year, you could have added Trayvon Hester in there, and he would have been a very good rotational player for them. But now on this Philadelphia Eagles team, he's your fourth or fifth guy. It's great how the NFL works, and that there's a salary cap. It makes the better GM stand out in how they roster construct, and it just goes to show that Howie Roseman knows what the hell he's doing in that front office constructing the roster this way. But in regards to the backfield, I went with the three guys. Two out of the three I'm 100% sure are in this doubtful category. One out of the three I'm not so sure. Wendell Smallwood, Danelle Pumphrey. If I never could see either of them play another down of football in the NFL, I would be 100% happy with that. We talk about Wendell and what he gives. We talk about Danelle and how much of a downfall he was. But Josh Adams, he gave the Eagles something to look at last year. Adam Kaplan on his show talked about how much the Cowboys front office said that they were scared of the way Adams ran the ball. Can he come out and have another big season? Who knows? He needs to take a hell of a step to get there. Not because of his skill set, once again, but the guys around him. You have Jordan Howard, who they traded a draft pick for. He's going to be the Thunder. You have Miles Sanders, who they drafted in the second round. He's going to be your future. Corey Clement is your off-speed pitch. Super Bowl champion Corey Clement. We're not going to skip any opportunity to mention that one. Now it's like, what do you want? Do you want Boston Scott's return ability? Do you want his pass catching ability? Do you want Josh Adams' ability to run the ball through the middle of the field? What do you want? And I evidently think, and that's how I'll transition to this last segment here of questionable guys that I think are a toss-up. And I think Boston Scott kind of puts himself in a tier above these guys. I think his pass catching ability, I think his return ability, his ability to be that Darren Sproles very, very light option that they don't have in Darren Sproles anymore, that Doug Peterson loved on those out of the backfield, line up on the linebacker, whatever way leverage he's giving you, you go the opposite type way, those option routes. I think Boston Scott has the skill set to do that. And he is a guy that if they keep four running backs, I think he takes it. I want to see a good camp out of him. Hopefully his size can hold up, but I like what I see out of Boston Scott over the other three. I'll just say it at that. I think those guys are very one-dimensional. Boston Scott, out of the four, he gives you more than the rest of them. Moving to the offensive line position, I just have one, Big V. Should he be on this roster? Yes. Do I think there are teams around the NFL that have a far less superior offensive line than the Philadelphia Eagles that could absolutely poach Big V for very cheap? I do. Look at Cincinnati Bengals. I'm not even going to rub salt in the wound at what's going on offensive tackle for them. If they came calling middle of August, offering up a 6th-round pick for Big V, Howie Roseman absolutely takes that deal. He has a ton of depth, a lot of versatility in his offensive linemen. He has a lot of swing players at that position. Big feet, Big V, much like Jalen Mills on the other side of the football, even though I didn't mention him, is the odd man out almost. It's like you performed when you had to, but now we have other options that could possibly take your place. And I'm going to throw that tag on Big V. And you know what? I'm going to toss that on Jalen Mills for the same thing as well. I'm moving him down from 100% to 50%, just because I think maybe there's a team that comes a call in for Jalen Mills, say for a 5th-round pick. You have to give him up for what you have back there. You invested so highly in Sidney Jones. You invested so highly in Rasul Douglas. You love Avante Maddox's skill set. He's outside of what you want. And I think that's what the same thing in Big V. He's not a versatile player. He's not athletic. He's got slow feet. That's the exact opposite of what Jeff Stoutland looks in football. Look at Andre Dillard. Look at look at Jordan Mailata. Two of the most athletic 6'7" guys you'll ever see in your entire life. Why? Because that's the type of player Jeff Stoutland likes. Not a type of player like Big V. At quarterback, Clayton Thorson, Cody Kessler, toss up for both of them. Do they like the veteran experience? And Kessler, can Thorson go on the practice squad? Absolutely an option. Do they like that ability for Kessler, who has played minutes? Not great minutes by any stretch of the imagination. I literally just rolled my eyes. I know that's not great podcasting, but he played minutes in the NFL. He's a guy maybe you can rely on if Sudfeld went down. Fingers crossed we don't have to get down that river if it ever were to be crossed. Moving to the pass catching options. Sorry about that. Josh Perkins, Braxton Miller, Shelton Gibson, Greg Ward. In regard to Josh Perkins, do they keep four tight ends? It's a possibility if one of the wide receivers, who I aforementioned, does not come out and produce. Braxton Miller, they talked about as being a potential slot option. Greg Ward, they talked about as being a potential slot option. Shelton Gibson, they invested in him. They like his downfield ability, but can he get it done? I think Miller and Ward have a better chance than Gibson to make this team because I think they like what they see out of both of them in the slot. Aguilar, I really think he's going to be on the team, but hey, if a team came calling with a fourth-round pick for him, I don't think Howie says no, and that's the thing. I've mentioned it time and time again that you have to understand how rosters are constructed. You have to understand that now that your quarterback's paid, you're going to have to go cheaper at some positions, and inevitably, that's what's going to happen. So if you can get an asset now for Nelson Aguilar, who you have not yet re-signed, and trust the ability of Braxton Miller or Greg Ward, or just what you have in J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and the rest of the crew, albeit go out and give up that player to get an asset, because Howie Roseman doesn't let people walk, especially a player of Nelson Aguilar's skill set, and at a position that they have a ton of depth now. You have to have a good competition this go-around, and I'm going to continue. Competition is key. It is key. It is key. They need a competition. They cannot hand anybody a roster spot. The days of Doriel Green Beckham Jr. are done. They're over with. Make everybody come out. Make them win a roster spot. And that's exactly what I got to on the defensive side of the football as well. Bruce Hector, go out and win a spot if you want to make this team. I absolutely think you can go out and beat Trayvon Hester. I absolutely think you have a chance to beat out Hassan Ridgeway. Go out and prove it. Nathan Gary, Paul Warlow, LJ Fort. That position, yeah, they went out and signed Zach Brown. Yeah, they like what they got in Nigel Bradham. Yeah, they like what they got in Kamuu Grugier-Hill. Go out and win that fourth position. They brought LJ Fort in here for a reason because they know that he has starting capabilities. They kept Paul Warlow around after a year that they saw nothing out of him after an injury. And Nathan Geary they like because they like his versatility because he played safety at Nebraska. All three of those guys, go out and compete. Make those guys ahead of you want to be that much better. Make those guys ahead of you want to compete that much more. Give yourself a chance to make this roster, and they're going to do it because the more bodies, the better bodies you have, the more competition is going to breed. The more competition you're going to breed, the greater your team is going to be. It's just the old practice makes perfect analogy. Just break it down to that. If you're practicing against the best, you're going to get better. Iron sharpens iron. And it's not a bad thing to have to make some of these tough decisions, much like the toughest decision on this roster, which, in my opinion, is safety three. Where do they go here? Andrew Sendejo. Is he worth keeping around if you can get a fourth-round compensatory pick next year? I don't know. Would I trade off for Trey Elston? Yeah, absolutely. If you're going to give me a fourth next year instead of Sendejo, I get Trey Elston. Count me in. Trey Sullivan, does he take a step? This is going to be the battle I want to see the most. Trey Sullivan versus Andrew Sendejo. One of those guys go out, win the job. And I'm going to end it on that, guys. Thank you for sticking around. I'm going to put this chart out there. All credit to our lads for coming up with this depth chart. I'm going to tweet out a picture so you guys can see this, so you guys can give me your reactions. Let me know what you have to say. A lot of these are up in the air. A lot of them are going to change as we go along. This is just my first glance at it, where I think these guys are going to sit. Are they a toss-up? Are they surefire? There's a lot of question marks still to be answered, but guys, we're not too far away from meaningful football. I don't care if you don't think preseason is meaningful football. To me, it's meaningful football. You see these guys that we've been studying all draft season long, all prior draft seasons, 2-3 years ago, all offseason, we're hearing about guys like Josh Sweat and Michelle and all these big name or little names that are going to be big names sooner or later because they're going to play meaningful minutes. It's a very good time to be an Eagles fan, and I'll end you with this. Fly, Eagles, fly. So thank you, everybody, for joining me on this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast on this fine Monday, July the 8th edition. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Catch us on Twitter at @Gino_LOE, @DiBiaseLOE, @LockedOnBirds, LockedOnBirds.com. We're putting out merch all the time. Actually, LockedOnEagles.com. Don't get it mixed up. Putting out merch. We got new shirts dropping soon. Go check out the DJX 2.0 on TeePublic. Shout out to them. And thank you to all our sponsors. Thank you, everybody, to listening. Thank you, Lou, who will be back on the podcast very soon. Get well, my friend, recovering from his surgery. Thank you guys for listening. We love you, everybody. Fly, Eagles, fly.